The opinions and commentary are solely that of Rick David and not that of IPC Securities Corporation. Listeners are advised to talk to their own financial advisor for their own financial advice. IPC Securities Corporation, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Rick, how are you this day?
Very good, Dennis.
Good, thank you. We're keeping busy. We have a couple questions to catch up on. I guess we can get right at it here today. We'll give the phone numbers out one more time, 778-476-1674, or you can email them into us at info@socountry.ca. I'll do the catch-up question, Rick, and then we'll let you settle in and talk to the people just a little bit. John from Princeton had written in, and we didn't get to his question last week, so when should a person apply for their CCP? So in other words, it's 60 or 65 is what John would like to know today.
Oh, okay, John. Basically, that's a very specific question to each personal circumstance. It really depends on, like I say, each person's particular circumstances. And the main thing there that I'm thinking right off the top of my head is health. And because there is a lower benefit amount at 60 or 60 and a half than there is at 65. And then it rises to the point where it's at its highest point at 70. And but if someone's health is not 100% at 60, then a person probably wants to take a bit of a look at taking it early. One of the other reasons to take it early, obviously, is if you have numerous different income streams coming in from the ages of 60 to 71 when you're has to kick in at 71. You might want a lower benefit and take it earlier because there's monies in your RRSP that's going to convert to a RIF that's going to put you closer perhaps to an old age security clawback at that point. So really the most important one I think is a person's health. If they're very, very healthy, then perhaps you know, they can wait a little longer. If they're having some health issues, then perhaps it's better to take it at 60.
Well, you can't read the future on that,
can
you?
Oh, no, it's tough.
It's interesting how health comes into play with a financial question like that. And if you're just catching up with us as we get going here today, the question from John in Princeton was, when should a person apply for your CPP at 60 or 65? It comes to mind, Rick, when I was in the workforce, when I hit the 20-year mark, I actually got a note from the government that told me how much money I would be getting if, in fact, I would have retired at that time.
Yeah. Right now, probably the easiest way for most folks is to go on to the website, and you know, you can get all kinds of different information there. You can get your tax-free contribution limit, your RRSP contribution limit, what your CPP benefit is. And I should actually just point out, last fall, there was some changes in the conditions for old age security. So there is a group of us that are sort of that 50-something that will have to wait past the age of 65 because the changes last fall. And a person go on, again, on the CRA website and, you know, your date of birth in there and see when you're going to have to wait before you can apply for old age security.
Interesting. At the time when I got that notice after 20 years in the workforce, I would have been getting about $460 a month, and that makes you realize real quick, like, how much your pension, I mean, that's 20-some years ago, but still, yeah, it's, you have to save on your own. I think you just can't sit there and wait on CPP, and it could be running out quicker than we think, too.
Absolutely. Like, one of the things that, that has changed as far, as CPP was, when they made some of the adjustments, they actually increased the amount per month because it changes at 0.5% per month below and above the age of 65, but they changed that to 0.6, so it actually increased the benefit a little bit. But obviously the more that you can save towards retirement on your own, the better off you're going to be.
Very good. Thank you, John, for that question again about the CPP. From Derek in Penticton today, you're listening to The Long and the Short of It on Soul Country. Where can John get more information on simple investing? I don't know if he's asking this to be in direct contact with you, Rick, but yeah, where can he get more information on investing?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, obviously, you know, in today's world, you can find out a lot of information on the internet, but I'm not really, I would say that you have to be very careful of just what the content is. I like the library. I mean, you can go in there and there's lots of books. You know, they're written by very good people on investing, on different types of investments. I should suggest that folks look at books that are a little more current, because a lot of books were written in the bull markets of the 1980s you know, so really we're not in that type of market here at this point. It doesn't look like it anyways. So you want something that's fairly current. And on top of that, there's always some very good literature that's out there. You know, you've got TV with different programs on the business network there. So, but I really do like the library, because it's got some great books. The first book I ever read was in the industry was written in about the 1860s, believe it or not.
But it's still the same premise, I guess. Put some money aside and take care of business, right?
Actually, that book was written, it was called The Psychology of Markets. It was written in the 1800s. And basically, it was one of those books that's never become dated, but it talked about Tulamania. But it was really about the psychology of investors.
Very good. Thank you. Good information. So that hasn't changed a whole lot. If you got to invest, you can pick up that book and many. Good information. And thank you, Derek, for a good question on information on investing, which basically tells me just do your homework and research where you can. Library, basic there. Hey, listen, we're going to come right back. You're listening to The Long and the Short of It on Soul Country. You can get a hold of Rick David. His office is in the City Center building in downtown Penticton, which was the old Zellers building, if you happen to remember, second floor of the glass elevator. We're coming right back after this. Raina Dawn's got some information for you.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's City Center building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations, and more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Center building.
And just before we get back into the questions here, Rick, I did want to ask you something. You're listening to The Long and the Short of It on Soul Country. Do you do seminars? Like if enough people said, well, we've got a business group together, or we'd like to get some information in one place, would you do something like that?
Oh yeah, Dennis, I've done quite a few actually over the years. It just depends on the content and context of what a group is looking for as far as a seminar. You know, I do partner with different folks to put on seminars, and you know, it just really comes down to the content. One that I really like that a lot of people have given me good feedback over the years is just a basic investing seminar where we start out right at square one and talk about stocks and what they are and bonds and what they are, and it takes about 4 hours. We do that on a Saturday and basically go from there. Actually, the last one I did, I had folks come in. They just brought a small check for their charitable donation of their choice, just as a donation, and we put it on that way. And so it was kind of good all the way around.
And you've got lots of time then when you do it that way too, to answer question and answer, etc.
Yeah, you know, it basically is enough in the, like, we break it down into 2-hour segments there, but it's enough in one day if you're new to investing to get all that sort of at one time.
John from Summerland, what is a mortgage investment corporation?
Oh, okay, John. Mortgage investment corps, there's a couple of them out there. Basically, in I think the sense he's talking about there is mortgage investment corps, they are basically a private entity, which are sold under prospectus or offering memorandum to investors here in British Columbia and absolutely through Canada. I would suggest if anybody's looking at something like that to do their due diligence, to read the prospectus or offering memorandum. In that case,